For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Welcome to episode number 187 of MSR Cast, your heavy metal podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek.
And I am Sean the Metal Pigeon.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. Been pretty quiet and uneventful.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, nothing's going on in the world, huh?
No, it's been pretty quiet all over the nation.
Oh, yeah. So, I guess let's start. We started the episode off with a song, with a bang. We heard Elected. Not, you know, no hidden meaning in there at all. Nothing. But that was from Arion and Aventasia that got together. So basically, Arjen Lukensen and Tobias Sammet got together and did that song. And if you go to the Arion Facebook page, they've been posting these things where posting videos of, hey, guess who this vocalist is on the album? They posted a video this morning, undeniably Tobias Sammet.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so that album's going to be coming out next year, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. He's still working on it for sure, but... Yeah.
Some big announcements for that. I mean, 2017 Arion and already Satyricon's going to release something, so it's going to be good. It's going to be a good year for metal.
Satyricon's supposed to be a little bit different, you said?
Yeah, well, the news post is very light on details, but they said it's going to be... Well, Satyr said it's going to be more soulful and less violent and intense, so that's interesting. Because I actually thought that the album they released, the self-titled in 2013, was definitely less... intense. It was a weird spacey album for them, but Satyricon's always sort of weird, so I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. It's been a while since we've actually recorded an episode where we're going to talk about new releases.
That's true. The last episode we did was basically about dark, heavy, progressive music.
Yeah,
we want everything that it encompasses. That.
Right. Yeah, we wanted to focus on do something different. Focus on that. But it's been a while since we've talked. We got a lot of catching up to do.
And that's cool because that led to a band contacting me from Corpus Christi.
Oh yeah.
That we're actually going to play here coming up on this show.
Yeah.
A band called Fall, and they're actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I really like them.
Yeah.
We'll get into them. We'll talk about that more.
Speaking of that last episode, because I got some good feedback on that episode. If you haven't listened to it. Now, more than ever, is the season to go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah, now it's starting to get a little chilly outside.
Right. And maybe you're a little downtrodden.
The cold white light is coming out.
Recent events have made you a little grim. Go listen to that episode. It's called Fall Into Metal.
If you want
to
move into the forest.
I'm really proud of that episode. I actually really, really loved the way it came out.
Me too.
So, yeah, but now we have new music to talk about.
I'm proud of every episode, though. I don't know why you're picking favorites.
I shouldn't pick favorites, but I did love that one. Probably because it touched on a music genre that we both love so much. So.
I think so. Yeah. We're very passionate about it.
Yeah.
So I guess there's not much else to say about that song. It was from an EP. They did that one track together, and there was a couple of other Arion rarities on that EP. It came out like...
That was a while ago, right?
2008?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
But it's a good track. It's very fitting for what's going on right now.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to talk about that stuff. Obviously, we want this to be an escape for you guys.
Yep.
But it's obvious that we're recording this a few days after the election. So my advice is just to turn the news off for a while. I took a 24-hour break from the news, and it's helped me immensely.
Well, you might have heard it.
And metal helps you more than anything.
You might have heard this grindcore band we just played right after there. Just a little quick... You know, 8-second song.
Yeah.
There is a band out there that just came out. It's Ryan Travis from Cattle Decapitation. He put this album out. And if you were a fan of like Anal Cunt back in the day, Anal Blast, that sort of novelty, making fun of stuff, super, super quick grindcore stuff, this is it. It's called, you ready for it?
Yeah.
Anal Trump. It's available for free, actually. I just downloaded it tonight. Go to their website. Go to Google. Look up Anal Trump. Be careful what you do look for, though.
type really carefully.
That's right. There's some pictures of Anal Trump you don't want to see out there. But we got great song titles on this album. I guess we can go over a little bit of it if you want. I mean, they're a little weird. Let's see here. Let me pull this Anal Trump album back up.
We're not making any commentary on this at all. We're just reporting the metal news.
That's right. It's free on Bandcamp if you want to download it.
Yeah, I don't want to offend anyone on any side of the spectrum.
Right.
Right.
So there is only 30 songs on this album.
Only 30 songs.
You know, that's short for a grindcore album.
Right. Yeah.
you got tracks like you got to treat them like shit. I'm trying to be very PC with the titles that I choose because I don't want to piss anybody off. My daughter is a piece of ass. That's a good one. Poor people are too stupid to get a loan from their parents. Blood coming out of her whatever. My favorite one is the one we played as well. I think I'm going to play a couple tracks.
Okay.
Dave Mustaine is cool. It's very much like the SOD type of, tribute songs. Make America Great Again, of course, and what else is great? Here's one that I love. Trump Tower has the best taco bowls. Yes, I'm sure it does.
Did you see that thing on the news about they're making odds for the 2020 presidency, and Dave Mustaine has 200-1 odds in Vegas?
Wow.
Dead serious. It's like, it's on
Ron
like,
Perlman wants to...
It's on a legitimate Vegas booking.
So you're wearing a Guns N' Roses t-shirt.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you see that the Funko Pop company announced that they were doing three Funko Guns N' Roses characters
yeah,
today?
That's pretty good.
Axel, Slash, and
Duff, I think.
Duff, right? Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. Current members, yeah. Current members.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly right.
That's we're not going to cool, make though. One for Matt Sorum.
No. Or Buckethead would be cool.
I guess so.
I think he was in Guns N' Roses for a while, wasn't he?
He was like there in the studio for like a year, I think. Oh, he played with him too a little bit.
Yeah.
In 2002, way back when.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. All right. So we just listened to some quick grindcore from some Anal Trump and some Arion Avantasia, which totally different genres of style here. What are we going to get into next? This is this is something I'm really looking forward to actually diving into and just digesting, because this is a sad album.
We mentioned it vaguely, well, briefly on the Fall Into Metal episode.
Yes, we did.
But this is coming out tomorrow.
As we record this.
So it'll be out by
don't,
the time
you
Don't
ruin the magic, man.
But the Trees of Eternity was the project with Aaliyah Stanbridge and her... I think the guitarist in the band, they were engaged or something like that. I'm not sure about the details. I know there are a couple.
Right, they
but,
were, yes.
But this is... You know, she passed away earlier this year from cancer. And so this is the album that they were working on for a long time.
And it was already completed. Or at least her parts were completed.
Yeah, I think they spent the last few months doing like the rest of the music. But
and if you don't recognize that voice, what's her name? Aaliyah
Stanbridge. Yeah,
she was on the last Swallow the Sun album as well as the most current Amorphis album.
Yeah, she was like the lead female vocalist on that disc one. There's a couple songs where she's.
It's so sad because Amorphis and Swallow the Sun are touring together here.
Yeah.
And she could have been on that tour.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe Trees of Eternity would have actually opened up.
Right, yeah. That would have been cool.
But, I mean, she's left her legacy here in audio form. I mean, that's more than a lot of people can say, you know?
I've listened to the album twice through now, and it is really good.
The gut-wrenching?
It is really sad to listen to, but, I mean, just like on an objective level... They wrote some really great songs, and it's really late in the game to start thinking about, like, oh, there's a new contender for maybe the album of the year list.
But, oh, wow, it's that good, huh?
But this might be that good, because I have an urge to go back and listen to it right now. And
he's almost out the door, ready to go.
Yeah.
He's like, screw this, I'm going.
And also, I know this doesn't have anything to do with the music, but they really did an excellent job on the cover art for it. It almost looks like an old paperback version of like a Lord of the Rings cover
no wonder why you like it
with that art style. It's just drawn very it just looks very like classy and very
sort of classy minimalistic
minimalistic. Yeah, I love that stuff. There's see what I mean. It looks if you're listening to this at home and you're by a computer, Google it. It's Trees of Eternity. There's only got the one album. It's called Hour of the Nightingale, but the album art is fantastic.
Oh, there's a song featuring Nick Holmes from Paradise Lost.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Oh, Mick Moss of Antimatter's on this album?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's weird. I listen to Spotify a lot at work because I don't bring a lot of stuff with me, you know? But I will pop, you know, promos and things like that on there to listen to. I made a work playlist, and I was going through there the other day. I'm like, okay, what can I? Cause I have little speakers hooked up now in my desk. I'm like, what can I listen to at work that's not overly?
It won't irritate everyone.
Irritate anybody,
right?
So I have everything from the Beatles on there, Tom Petty. I have Anathema, some Opeth, Antimatter. I just threw it on there today. The Gathering, Arion. I was like, try not to go too crazy though with my. All of a sudden, because I walk away from my desk, and then all of a sudden it'll be like, oh, sorry, guys.
Right.
Didn't mean to do that. So I'm trying to keep it sort of low key-ish. So yeah. If you guys have any band recommendations, you know, I can throw on there. It'd be cool.
I think tracks from this album
would
fit right in. And like, because it's very, her voice is very serene and lulling and stuff. And I think the song we're going to play is a really good indication or example of that. She has a very smooth and crystalline voice, but she's soulful at the same time, which is kind of rare for a female metal singer. Mm. So I don't know. I need to listen to the album more, but when you put in an album and you're hooked right away, you're not going to lie to yourself and you'd be like, oh, it'll get worse over time. No, that's just a good sign right off the bat. So,
all right, let's get into some Trees of Eternity. The song you picked is called Broken Mirror, and this is from the album Hour of the Nightingale. It's on Svart Records. It comes out right now, basically, as we're recording this.
It's out.
It's out.
Yeah.
Go pick it up, support, pay tribute to a fallen metal angel, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, check it out. so much riffage there. Non-stop riffage, man.
Yep. Houston riffage.
That's right. Houston riffage. That was from Houston Stalwarts, Hellstar, their brand new album. That song is called Bloodlust. Great album, man. The guys are back. They're signed to Dave Ellison's label. Mm-hmm. They are touring their asses off right now.
Yeah.
I think currently they're on tour with Flotsam and Jetsam, which is so cool because at one point, James Rivera was a replacement vocalist in Flotsam and Jetsam for one tour. Huh. I actually saw Flotsam and Jetsam with James Rivera singing with them here in Houston. That was great. So now they're on tour together, which is cool.
Yeah,
we need to get those guys in here because I've talked to a couple of our friends in the band who are also in the band The Scourge.
Who are awesome.
Who are awesome, yeah. We've played them on the show before. Good friends of the show. We just haven't had the connection to get together to actually have them in the studio here to record an episode. Now they're on tour, so got to wait for them to be home.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah.
Good for Hellstar. Good for James. You know, like they've actually got some muscle behind them now. Like,
yeah.
People are working behind the scenes.
I've always been a big proponent for this band, and now the rest of the world is actually finally going to get to hear what, you know, Houston thrash metal is all about.
Yeah. It would have been cool if they had gotten on that Queensryche Armored Saint thing that's rolling through the States here in a few weeks. We will be seeing them the day before Thanksgiving, which, you know what? That is a Thanksgiving tradition I can get used to.
Yeah, that's right.
Last year we were at the Blind Guardian show the day before Thanksgiving. This year we'll be at the Queensryche show. It's going to be cool.
I'm looking to possibly get an interview with Armored Saint.
Yeah.
The Saints from Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be exciting for me.
I heard those guys on the Josta podcast recently. It was a good episode.
I've listened to that episode, yeah. Man, I've always been a big Armored Saint fan. I actually picked up some old school... like the first two albums on vinyl not too long ago, thanks to Papa Josh, Cryptos.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
That was fun.
Have you gone back and listened to any of their like early 90s stuff
recently? One of my favorite albums of all time is Symbol of Salvation.
Symbol of Salvation is the album
91.
For my introduction to the band.
Yeah.
And I had it on
for
cassette.
A lot of people, yeah.
And that is still one of my favorite, I think, just regular metal albums of all time. Because it hit me at such a time. I got it at a used record store, like a bin for like 50 cents.
Oh, wow.
It was on cassette. And that album had a big impact on me. And I wore it out. That and I had a cassette of Metal Church's Blessing in Disguise. Those two bands were kind of like my a stepping stone for me to get away from Metallica, Megadeth, and go,
sure.
Ooh, there's lesser known metal bands.
You know,
bands here.
I've had this discussion with Larry Roberts from November's Doom, who actually just got out of the studio. They're recording their brand new album.
Oh, nice.
We'll need to get him on the show again to talk about the new album and the recording of it. But we've talked about doing it for a long time. Is just getting schedules together. It's so hard. Is doing an episode about thrash metal from the late 80s, early 90s that was a little different.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Annihilator and Varga and, you know, some of the, like Death Angel Act 3, one of my favorite albums of all time. But it's, you don't want to say progressive thrash metal, but it's thrash metal that are like, all right, so we don't have to play super, super fast. Let's try writing good quality songs, stuff that we want to write and play, and see how it happens. I mean, some people are true sticklers, like Exodus, you know, Impact is imminent, horrible album. No, not true.
Right.
There's some bad stuff on that album, but yeah.
I'm for me that album was just kind of like meh, but
hanging in the balance, Metal Church.
Oh, that's great album. Great album.
Underrated, for sure.
Underrated, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of albums, a lot of good songs like that that people don't know. I think that'd be a great topic to dive into.
That was a weird time because, you know, if you compare, like, the sound of Injustice for All and the Black Album, obviously, I think that after the Black Album, a lot of other bands, whether they want to admit it or not, were influenced to...
I think influenced, but probably forced in a way, too.
Pressured to do that.
Pressured by the record labels. Hey, we need you guys to write your Black Album.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say it like this, but Anthrax, Sound of White Noise, it was definitely that,
right.
Hey, this is our heavy, it's a heavy album still.
The muscular album, yeah.
But it's very, I don't want to say radio friendly, but it's more palatable.
It's cleaned up. Yeah, the production's cleaned up.
I think it's, yeah, that, right? We really got to do an episode about this because Sound of White Noise, it is definitely in my top five albums of all time.
I mean, and even like, even going a couple years into the future from that point.
Into the future.
The mid-period of the 90s had some really bizarre metal albums come out. Those mid-period creator albums are some of the weirder things you'll ever hear.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that's definitely something we need to do.
I mean, the era of the mid-90s, metal was ostracized at that point. So they basically, these bands were able to do whatever the fuck they wanted because the true fans were still buying the albums, but it wasn't like...
Oh, yes. And well, what you're just saying touches on a theory that I've had for a long time that one day...
I didn't mean to touch your theory.
One day I will put to paper where the gist of it in a nutshell is that because like as grunge took over and rock, alternative rock took over and metal had to be forced to go underground... A lot of bands were just kind of left to their own devices of just like, oh, screw it. We're going to do whatever we want to
because no one's listening to
us anyway. And that's how they're kind of became, you know, underground metal had like rebirths in that time, you know?
That's when social media started like rising up with all these new bands.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the Sam Dunn documentary for extreme metal, in the death metal section, he talks about how there's... how there became like a glut of death metal bands. You know, everyone just started to... Everyone just wanted the same thing.
Sure.
And so you had copycat death metal bands, and that's, you know, black metal came out from that as a reaction against that. And then also just like kind of death metal just kind of petered out. And so there's all sorts of interesting storylines that happened.
Speaking of, you're touching on that, all genres of music and metal rise from, hey, this is getting stale and boring. Mm-hmm. Let's take it to a different level, or let's take it to the way I think it should progress to.
Yeah.
I mean, prog metal, I mean, Dream Theater, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not going to play them in this episode because I think that everyone who wants to hear the new Dark Throne album has already heard it. And we have too much other new music to put to. But really quick on that new Dark Throne album, they kind of go back to their black metal style, not of the early 90s, but of like the, not, you know, 2000, 2001, 2002.
Sure.
Like Plague Wielder, Hate Them, and all that kind of stuff, Sardonic Wrath. The new album, it's not my favorite. But it's a reaction against this black and roll thing that's been going on for the past, like, 7 years, which, you know,
hey. I like black and roll.
Dark Throne has been a part of that. They've released black and roll albums, and the last album, Underground Resistance, was more classic metal. But this is a reaction against that. So it's interesting to see a band like Dark Throne also doing that. Like, when they feel like they've just kind of had enough and it's becoming too much of a thing that everyone's doing, they'll just go back and do something... Even if they've already done it before, because the new album does sound exactly like Plague Wielder / Hate Them. So
you mentioned Metallica earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about this new album that people are like, oh, it's the best thing since sliced bread. No, it's not.
It took a couple people on Twitter to keep on like harping on Metallica news for me to register that a new album is actually coming out in like about a week or so.
Oh, is that soon, really?
Or 2 weeks, I think.
I don't even know.
Just like... Oh, yeah, we're going to have to talk about a new Metallica album in the next episode.
I'll listen to it.
Or two episodes from now.
Free on Spotify. See, it bored me so much I yawned when I talked about it. I'll listen to it free on Spotify. I'll give it a fighting chance. I mean, I've heard the three tracks they've released, and they're okay. I mean, they're better than I thought they were going to be, but here's still the same damn thing with that band for me. It's fucking Lars's drums. Ever since I was like, okay, once I realized in my head that he was not a good drummer, that he's lazy.
Honestly,
I know it's his style and everything, but I'm over it. I'm just over it. I think if they had a new drummer, it'd be much, much better.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen.
It's going to be interesting to kind of what our opinions are going to be when we finally hear the full thing, because... I think part of the problem with Metallica is it takes them so long to release music that we as former fans and potential fans and current fans don't really know what to expect. You don't really know what to expect from a new Metallica, or you don't really know what you're supposed to get from a new Metallica album.
Sure.
And what I always got from Metallica was the intensity of James Hetfield, the intelligence of his songwriting, and how wonderful he was.
I will say that his vocals are much better so far on this album.
He sounds better.
He sounds reinvigorated. He does.
Right.
The rest of the band.
Yeah, but, okay. But see, I can overlook the actual performance of the musicianship and everything. When I listen to a Metallica album, I'm looking for James Hetfield's, like, his songwriting voice, you know?
Yeah, you are.
Not his actual voice. I'm looking for that spirit that made a song like Until It Sleeps on Load still, like, a fucking powerful song.
Yeah.
I listen to it today, and
really?
I go...
I haven't heard that song in years.
And I go, God, that's a great song. It's about, like, his... It's about his when his mother had cancer. It's about the way he visualized it, and that's a powerful song, and it has a great hook to it, and a great chorus. And there's so many great songs in that Load album. They're just powerful, serious songs, like Serious Like a Heart Attack, Bleeding Me, The Outlaw Torn, and that's what I look for. I look for like intelligent metal that I can like that will grip me emotionally. And when I hear the new stuff. You know, it sounds okay. It just sounds like Metallica is supposed to sound,
right,
I guess. But
so
it doesn't hit me.
That's a great segue into our next band, Hammerfall.
Yeah.
Because they write music to please the metal fan. You're talking about... okay, so how am I going to say this without being douchey? Because I love Hammerfall. They're one of my favorite bands.
I love Hammerfall, yeah.
But they write, lyrically, they write... cheesy fluff, but it's great. Like this song that we're gonna play, Hammer High,
right? Which, by the way, someone, enough with these stupid videos for this song. If you haven't seen the music video, enough of these videos where it's the band playing in some sort of fantasy landscape that's just a green screen.
But it's Hammerfall, dude, come on.
Green screen. No, but like they've done it before. They've been doing this type of video since 2005 on Unbent, Unbowed, Unbroken. For Bloodbound, that was a great video. They're playing on top of the hammer, you know, the big statue with the hammer, and they're playing. That's cool. But this video is so just. It's not even that I can make fun of the concept of the video. I get it. Two guys fighting, and there's two armies facing each other, and they send out their champions to go meet in the middle.
Have you heard of the whole album?
I gave it a pass through. Yeah.
Okay, so the song on there, Twilight Princess, which I didn't pick to play, but I'm wondering if that is that based on the Legend of Zelda game.
Oh, I don't know.
It'd be interesting to find out.
I didn't even think,
because I know Oscar, the guitar player, huge video game geek.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it past him.
I mean, they've written fucking albums about, you know, Game of Thrones.
Right, yeah.
So, like you said, Chapter 5, Unbound.
Unbent, Unbowed.
Yeah,
Unbound,
it's straight Chapter out of Game 5. Of Thrones.
I don't know. Here's my thing with the Hammerfall album. It's better than the last album. Which I don't think I remember not being a fan of, to such a degree I couldn't even really remember details of that album. Was it? I want to say Infected, but I think there's an album that came after that, and I was just sort of meh on that one too.
I like those albums because they're, like we talked about, the songs are a little bit different. This new album, I feel it's more traditional power metal, cheesy power metal style. Some of the newer albums, they were trying Revolution. Revolution was the last
album. Revolution, that's right. Yeah, and I remember liking that. I remember I loved the single, and I liked the first few songs, and then the rest of it just sort of passed by me.
Hector's Hymn was a great song.
Hector's Hymn was
Winter
a good song.
Is Coming, that's another song based on Game of Thrones. Yeah. I interviewed him on this album. I remember that. There was one couple really bad songs.
Infected,
on it,
I thought, was an awful album, but that's just me.
No, I liked Infected.
I mean, here's the thing with the new album. It does sound like Hammerfall, and it does deliver the catchiness and the hooks. Here's what I want from Hammerfall. Can we change up? To me, you will never get better than Glory to the Brave and Legacy of Kings. And the difference between those two first two Hammerfall albums and the rest of their stuff is that the guitars were denser. And they had more of a Melodeath riff attack to them. Can we get a little bit more of that Melodeath riff attack back into Hammerfall? Please. I know he can do it. And I know that Jesper was a part of the band and he was helping to write those songs. And I'm sure that In Flames style helped a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Of that. But I miss that crunch. I miss that density in those riffs. And that when the new stuff is just, the guitars are just very standard power metal-y, and if they don't have an extremely great hook like Hearts on Fire or Bloodbound or something,
God,
If they don't have that, it's you're just sort of like, well, this is good, but
see,
it's, just,
I think you got a point because restaurant. The new album's good, but it doesn't have the catchiness of, like you just said, those songs right there.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's like, I'm not saying that Hearts on Fire, I wouldn't take that
see,
over.
See, you just said the title, the song, now it's stuck in my head.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not, and that's a pretty easy criticism to make. I'm trying to be fair to the band. I know they can't write a song like that.
Did you know Michael Stein from Dark Tranquility was a former vocalist in this band?
Yeah. It was all mixed in with the Gothenburg scene.
I know, but
it was a weird time.
They didn't release anything with him on it, did they?
No. No.
I want to hear something with him singing in Hammerfall.
Yeah, some kind of demo or something.
I mean, it was definitely, cuz this is Hammerfall started as a side project.
Right.
Yeah. From, you know, In Flames, basically, Dark Tranquility.
Ceremonial Oath.
Ceremonial Oath, exactly, yeah. Was Oscar.
One of the greatest band names of all time.
Right? Wow. So let's get into the new track. Oh, actually, let's talk about the Truth of Eternity real quick, because we mentioned something while we were listening to it.
Oh, yeah. That the guitarist, Juha
from Swallow the Sun.
That's who I was trying to remember.
Yes.
Who was engaged to Aaliyah. And I feel terrible for the guy, but I can assume a lot of things. I can assume that when he was writing that Swallow the Sun album, that maybe there was foreknowledge of something or there was knowledge of something. And I don't know. It's just such a shitty situation. I hope he's doing better.
Yeah. I get to see him twice in a few months period.
We're going to see him pretty soon.
Next month?
Yeah.
Opening up for...
which is, you know...
Dark Trent. No, who are they opening up for?
They're going to open up for... Dark Tranquility, right? Star Tranquility, Swallow the Sun.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then they're coming back in April with Amorphis.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to that show.
That will be the show of the year. Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
All they need to do is take Insomnium and Omnium Gathering from the other tours and throw them on that tour, and I'd be happy.
Yeah. You know, it should have just been like, because it's a week apart. It's exactly a week apart that Sonata Arctica and Omnium are coming after Dark Tranquility and Swallow the Sun. You guys, let's get all four bands on the same
bill. There's too many shows in December of bands that I really want to see, and yeah, I mean, put them all together. Come on, for me, just do it.
Yeah, I don't mind. It's going to be a Christmas present to myself, is that how I put it.
So yeah, Dark Tranquility, Swallow the Sun, Enforcer, Starkill.
Oh, Enforcer, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I've never seen them live.
Yeah.
Let's see, Sonata Arctica with Leaves Eyes and Omnium Gatherum.
Ooh, Leaves Eyes. This would be interesting.
It's not the real Leaves Eyes anymore.
I know, but this is going to be fascinating to see.
And then what else is there? When is...
We'll have scandalous gossip to report on the podcast.
That's right. We need gossip. Where was... I guess, yeah. Sudden Insomnium was coming for some reason.
No, I guess not. No, is it just going to be Armored Saint and Queensryche, that one?
Armored Saint and Queensryche, and there's one other band, too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Overkill and Nihil are touring together.
Puddle of Mud, are you serious? They're still together? I thought they broke up.
I don't fucking care.
Can they stop?
We're looking at the website of one of the local places we go to. UFO and Saxon are touring together?
That would be cool.
Amorphis and Swallow the Sun. Here we go. Monday, May 15th, Delane and Hammerfall. I am going to that show because I've never seen Hammerfall live.
Yeah.
You know,
is Delane headlining?
I think it's a co-headlining.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? When I saw Delane open for Sonata, I thought they were great. They were fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sounded great.
I don't know if I'm a big fan of them or not, but I'll be at the show.
Confession, I have not listened to that new Delane album.
I haven't either.
I'm stunned that they released one so fast after the last one. That's kind of...
Then back... And another 3 days after... It's going to suck. Hammerfall's on Monday. Thursday is Sabaton.
Yeah, and I do want to go that Saturday.
Headlining show. They're going to... Sacred Steel, who we're going to play later...
Yeah.
...are one of the opening bands. And another band that you don't like. We'll talk about that later. I believe it's that... Remember that band we saw the...
If it's Blackguard, I'm gonna be very upset.
No, not Blackguard. The Blackguard's time is over. We'll find it out, and we'll let you guys know. So let's get into this Hammerfall song. We've been talking about them so long, I forgot we haven't played them yet.
Yeah.
This is Hammer High from the newest album, Built to Last. Check it out.
Pounding
throw open the gates.
Yeah. All right.
The winter's gates.
The winter's gates.
Yeah.
It's turning winter here.
The Insomnium album that has surprised the hell out of, I think, most of us in terms of just how...
I don't know if it surprised me.
Brutal it is.
Well, yeah, there's now, definitely...
Granted, the song we just played is not... It leans more on the melodic side.
I was
very
sort of
heavy,
a
clean
so
vocals on there.
I was sort of against playing this on the show because it's a 40-minute track.
Right.
The entire concept, it's a 40-minute album, one song. So taking a piece like this was out of it sort of takes it out of context a little bit. It was just a little weird, but I went with you on that. I conceded.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that so if you get the physical copy. And on my physical copy, it's just one track.
Yeah.
And there's no, I mean, it is one track. There's no skipping around. So on the digital release, it is cut up into segments. So I got the physical one first. And I went and had to download a copy of the digital one because I needed to be able to review it. Because it is annoying to have to listen to a... 40-minute song, and then have to, like, what part was that? And I kind of just wish they had released it on CD the same way.
Sure.
So that is a gripe for me. That's the only complaint I really have about this album. I went into this album not really expecting much, and I love Insomnium, but I thought, like, maybe this would be a little above their reach. And they surprised the hell out of me with just how good this album is. Good is a pretty crappy word to say. It's such an unexpectedly brutal album for them. I mean, they have black metal parts. They're tremolo riffing. They have blast beats on here. They have sections that where Nilo's vocals are so, like, he stretches his brutality into, like, black metal range. And I think the black metal influence is surprising for a band so firmly into their own. You know, Finnish mellow death sound. It's a whole, like, step away from what they were doing.
Well, it's a good place for them to be able to try out those parts of the band that they don't really get to deflect a lot, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's a concept, it's a full, it's an album, a 40-minute song, so it's, you know, we want this part of the song to take you to this type of place, and then we want it to flow over here. It's a good way for them to test out those waters, you know?
Well, and I also think just, like, having to write along to a story that they had already had, like, the lyrical concept.
Yeah.
In firm. It's a story about a band of Vikings that set out to search for an island on the west of Ireland, or an island west of Ireland.
That's hard to say.
Yeah. And so there is a storyline they had to write lyrics to, and they had to fit the music to that. I think the fact that they gave themselves, like, parameters, well, and they really firmly decided, okay, this is going to be only 40 minutes, we're going to focus in on this, I think that kind of disciplined them. Because the last album, I did like a lot of parts of it, and I thought they had some amazing songs in there, but overall...
It was not one for sorrow.
It was not one for sorrow, and, you know, it was too long, and it was just kind of, not filler, but some of the cuts were just sort of like... They wouldn't keep your interest all the way through this album. The thing that will keep this album in the conversation for album of the year is how much it kept my attention all the way through. I never got bored listening to this thing from start to finish, and that's amazing to say.
I need to listen to some more, actually.
I mean, the most brutal moments are in the very last, like, I say, quote-unquote, track, of the very last part of Winter's Gate, the song. And they're astonishing. I mean, they're so heavy. They're so, like, unexpectedly heavy. Like, when I was the first time I listened to this album, I had to stop what I was doing. I was writing at the same time, and I had to stop and, like, seriously think, like, wow, this band has taken a huge chance, like, altering their sound. People who really fell in love with One for Sorrow and they're not used to a more brutal style of metal would be put off by this a little bit. But I love it.
I want to see them do this live in its entirety.
Yeah, and I think they said they're going to do it on their European tour. So that'll be – hopefully that translates over to coming over to the United States a little bit with it.
I hope so. Because if they don't, guess what? I'll be one for sorrow.
Fair.
Gotcha. So before Insomnium, we heard Hammerfall, Hammer High, Built to Last. And I think I've mentioned this on the show before. I used to hate Hammerfall. I thought they were cheesy and pretentious. And then somehow I listened to a song one day and like this little flip went off. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I actually really like these guys now. And it was just, I think it was the Hammerfall song. First song you ever heard from them was like a live Wacken video from like the late 90s, right?
Right.
And it was them performing Hammerfall.
Right.
I was like, oh, these... And I got this weird Manowar vibe from it. Because it was like, there's a Hammerfall. I'm like, oh. All right. They're just singing about themselves. I'm like, it's... And I never really gave them a chance after that.
Yeah, I would never... Even hearing, I mean, I would never think of them as pretentious, just because they were so obviously trying to kind of go back to like a more meat and potatoes style of metal, like Judas Priest style influence.
Yeah,
I mean, they were definitely a reaction to what they thought was just like an unnecessary, like complicating metal in the 90s. It's like it didn't sound like anything they grew up listening to, and they rejected that. And so, I mean, I've always admired their integrity. Their consistency, however, I think it deserves a lot of criticism, and I don't know about this album. I'll give it more listens, but I think it's just one of those Hammerfall albums that where you're like, yeah, it's a Hammerfall album, and then you put it on the background, you're kind of like, all right, that sounds pretty good, you know. But when you really sit down and focus on it, you're like, ah, it's not one of their better ones, and then still they have yet to.
I was talking about this with you before. I couldn't pick. I was listening to it again today in preparation, and there's a song on there that had some really heavy, like, brutal riffing, and I could not find it again.
Yeah, they need to do more of that. They need to do what Insomnium did and spice up their guitar, their attack a little bit, because when you just do da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, it just sounds like you're on autopilot. You know, get aggressive, mix it up, like, change up the tempo, get Painkiller on our ass, you know? Like, amp up the heaviness.
Where's Hammerfall's Painkiller?
Or go back to a true kind of like Glory of the Brave, Legacy of Kings style guitar sound. You know,
I thought you were gonna say Legacy of Cain.
Yeah,
I like that game. All right, so to spice things up tonight, we're gonna play a little band called Anal Natrok. I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, seems about right.
Nathrock?
Nathrock.
The Nathrocki?
Hold your children close and pray for oblivion.
That's
a great title.
Not picked for any reason this week, but a little apropos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like this band because they definitely do different things.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see the name of the album.
And that is a very evil-sounding band name, too. I have no idea what it could mean. Probably not good.
So, pulling up their Wikipedia, Anal Nathrok are a British extreme metal band formed in 1988 in Birmingham. The band's name comes from Merlin's charm of making in John Borman's 1981 film Excalibur.
Oh, that's all right then.
That's so brutal now, huh?
Hey, Excalibur is a pretty awesome film still.
No, I'm just saying that.
That is one of the longer movies you'll have to sit through.
Yeah. Let's see.
That used to be one of the movies I would watch before Christmas. I used to have
Thing
of movies. And then for the past like 5 or so years, I've just been watching Conan the Barbarian on Christmas Eve. And I decided this year I need to change it up. I'm thinking like Lord of the Rings trilogy again, you know.
That'd be good.
Like, yeah, maybe do that like a couple days before, like one movie per night.
So they've had a lot of albums out, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 11 albums, 10 or 11 albums, something like that. They're definitely a little over the place. Black metal, death metal, definitely in a lot of industrial stuff, especially this song we're going to play. There's a lot of industrial, late 80s industrial, not even metal, but just like... Nitzareb and that kind of, that kind of vibe. It's and it mixes with the brutalness of this song really well.
Yeah.
And on this album, there's a cover of Power Slave from Iron Maiden.
Yeah,
I really like.
Yeah.
It's a really cool cover.
Yeah.
But we already played a cover, so I didn't want to play too many this episode. Yeah. So let's get into Anal Nacht. Nasrock. It's hard to say, man.
Yeah.
This is the song called Hold Your Children Close and Pray for Oblivion. Anal Trump. There you go.
Thank you.
Are nothing but a shade, my friend.
I'll take that. I like shades.
You like shades?
Uh-huh.
You need shade sometimes in the summer here.
Yeah. Are they talking about shades in the kind of like mythological sense of shades, human beings, like undead guys and stuff?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the gentleman that wrote the song.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
Well, we want to champion Texas bands here.
Yes, we do. And if you are a Texas band, send an email to msrcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
With a link to your song or your album, and just like this band right now, we just played Fall,
right,
from Corpus Christi, Texas.
Yeah, they reached out.
They reached out to us. We're playing them, and we dig it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. God damn, that's some good album artwork.
Yes, it is.
Nicholas Sundin, apparently from Dark Tranquility, does the artwork.
That's right.
And
Dirk Van Buren, former Soilwork, now current Megadeth drummer, played on this album.
Damn, these Scandinavian guys are being so multi-talented.
I know.
Yeah, no, they have a very interesting sound.
Very progressive. You mentioned Haken.
Yes, Haken. It reminded me of Haken. They were on the brain. I've been listening to that album a lot this year. But I got a very Haken-y vibe from them.
A little, post-sludge riffage on there.
Yeah.
A little, like, Mastodon-ish.
The softer moments are very kind of trippy and psychedelic and stuff.
Yeah. The whole album's really good, too. I mean, I really dig these guys. So, thanks to, what was his name?
David?
David Gutierrez. Yeah.
They have a
from Fall.
They have
check
a Bandcamp. Yeah.
Yeah, check them out on Bandcamp. And support these guys. I mean, I can't recommend them enough. I mean, it's a really good album. Very, very well produced. Sounds great. And it's and they reached out to us because of our last episode, the dark metal episode. And he's like, hey, he mentioned Typo Negative for sure. But he was really excited that we did that episode. And he's like, I think this would fall right into that. So I'm sending you a link to it. And there you go.
Very cool.
So check out The Fall from Corpus Christi, Texas.
Yep. And before that, we were listening to...
We fell into some deep pits of hell somewhere.
Yeah. What I was telling you when we were listening to
it... Anal Nasrak.
We were just listening to it again, and it sounds like the industrial stuff really comes into play when they're doing like the vocals. There's like that kind of vocal filter in the voice. It makes it sound like some sort of hellish
voice. It's very...
you know?
Yeah, and then it's in the cleaner vocal style.
Yeah, and his grim vocals really remind me of like Dissection almost.
It's really raw and grim, but it's a little bit industrial. It's a little bit black metal. It's a little bit death metal. It's
which I actually like that. I like when industrial is used as like an accent in metal.
And it's definitely using an accent in this song.
Yeah, definitely. Like I've never been a total. Like a big fan of industrial on its own, just because actually when I listen to real industrial music, I miss the guitars, you know, I miss the riffs and stuff. So I like stuff.
Okay, like industrial,
this.
I go with far. Ministry, I love Ministry.
Right, which I think of them always first as a metal band.
Yeah.
You know, still.
Metal with industrial.
Right.
Definitely more than tinges, but.
Right. I think we've even had this, we talked about this in the podcast once about how like, Nine Inch Nails, like sometimes you just wish their songs would be a little heavier because it's a good hook and it's a good, you know, like pattern or whatever. You're just like, come on, get in there, riff.
And then bands like Godflesh were really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, there was some good stuff in the 90s, you know, too.
Yeah.
Misery Loves Company, do you remember that band?
I remember the name. I don't think I ever listened to them.
I used to really be into them.
Misery Loves Company.
They definitely had a lot of industrial, you know, influences into their band.
Yeah.
But that was an all nuts rock. Do you have any topics you wanted to get into this evening before we play our last band?
We should just really quickly list off what we think of, because we didn't play them, but their album came out, it'd been a while. It's been a while since we've done an episode where we talk about new music. But since then, Sabaton has released a new album. Sonata Arctica has released a new album.
Yeah.
So what do you think about those two?
Let's talk about Sabaton. Hold on 1 second. Keep on talking while I grab my album.
Okay. So the thing is, it hasn't grown that well. You know what I mean? It's been a good album.
It's been a few months since it came out.
It's a decent album, but it is, I think, a step back from Heroes, which I thought was spectacular, as well as Careless Rex. And that's not like a bad thing.
I thought
for
it was Careless T-Rex.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing for the band, but I did have an idea that maybe
it's not their last stand though.
Maybe it was a good idea because it's a more keyboard driven album. In fact, the sound of it very reminiscent of like a Terror Dominatus era early Sabaton.
Yes.
And I got the feeling that maybe it was a good album for them to do right now because they are getting huge. In the States, the album charted pretty high in America. They played on Ozfest, and it was a good thing for them to do. now because it's a good album to introduce the band to for new fans, you know? Like, maybe Kairos was too orchestral.
And there's
maybe
a song on here. Yeah, there's a song on here that all the drums are actually gunshots.
Yeah,
which I thought cool. That was sort of interesting.
And it's a good song, too. And,
yeah.
And
if they didn't tell you and you didn't know how they made it, you would never have known.
That song, Shiroyama.
Yeah.
Which is a catchy as hell song.
It is very catchy.
Sabaton, they always have a couple great songs per album, but it just seemed like a letdown after they had delivered, in my opinion, like two really great front-to-back albums in Kairos Rex and Heroes. And that kind of is the same way I feel about the new Sonata Arctic album. The reason why we didn't really play it is because, I mean,
there was a couple of decent tracks I listened to on it, and I was like, oh, that's catchy, that's right. Fun.
It's catchy and fun. And the rest of the album is sort of like,
but
we can take it or leave it.
But they've always sort of been that way, for me at least. I know you're a bigger fan of them than I am.
No, but you know, the last album.
But I've never seen them live either, though.
What's interesting is we're going to see them in a couple weeks here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to go to that show, but I'm going to
try. It was Omnium Gatherum, right?
Right.
I will definitely go to that show.
Okay, yeah. You know, the thing I found interesting about their last album was that I was kind of meh about it. And then I went to go see them live a few months after the album was released, and I love the album afterwards. So I'm interested to see if the same thing happens with this new album, if they'll play most of it live, and I'll go, oh, wow, this song sound better live. For some reason, it worked out that way the last time.
Did we talk about the new Opus yet?
No, we didn't. I'll let you start on that one.
I really dig it. I know there's a lot of purists and truers out there that, oh, they're still not doing the death vocals. Get over it.
No, I'm over that. I just don't think they're writing good songs anymore. Like, I think
the first half of the album, I will say it's not the stronger part of the album. The second half is really, really good.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. The thing is, there were a couple really stellar songs on it. But I haven't gone back to listen to them because the entire album, I'm used to Opeth giving me a complete listening experience. I'm not used to cherry picking songs. I'm used to cherry picking songs on a Sonata album because it's been like a decade since they've released a classic. But Opeth, you know, I thought Watershed was a spectacular album all the way through, you know, and I thought Ghost Reveries was a spectacular album all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
And for just whatever reason, it's not hitting me, this new stuff. You know, like, the past three albums have just been sort of like, oh, that's a nice moment there. I wish they would do more of that. That's a good moment there. I don't need the death vocals. I can have other bands that deliver that stuff for me. But when they get into these prog experiments where they're just noodling around, I lose my patience. I can't fathom why they're wasting time doing that stuff when I know they're capable of writing just engrossing hooky melodies and stuff like that. So
one band that's put a new album out I want to talk about is Testament.
Okay.
Brotherhood of the Snake. Have you listened to this yet?
No.
Are you a Testament fan?
I like Testament. I'm not, like, I wouldn't call myself a diehard fan.
Here's what I'm gonna say about this album. I know there was problems. I've heard rumors about problems, you know, with them. It took a long time for this album to come out. There's some great songs on this album, some really heavy shit on this album.
Yeah.
But there's one song on here that every time I hear it, I'm just like, oh, it's the worst Testament song ever made. Lyrically, songwriting, it's called Blackjack, and it's basically about gambling in Vegas or some shit, and it's just so bad. It takes me out of the album.
Leave that to the Scorpions, guys.
Right, and there's a song on here called Canna Business, which I'm like, oh, that sounds horrible.
Right, yeah.
Like cannabis, but Canna Business.
Right.
I'm like, oh, it's like sort of practice what you preach era style. I'm like, that's good. But the Blackjack song, oh, God, man, it's just horrible. But The Pale King, brutal, amazing track. I love that song. I'm looking at it now. Centuries of Suffering, really good. It's a good album, except for that one. It felt like a B-side thrown in the middle of the album.
Huh. So you think the album overall is less than Formation?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
But
that was going to be a hard one to live up to, I think.
It's been a while, too.
Right.
When
did this album come out? I haven't been really on the new release game this year. I've just been sort of listening to whatever comes my way.
Came out October 28th.
Oh, so that's pretty recent.
I actually bought it at Best Buy for $7.99 when it came out.
Wow.
A little Digipak version of it. I'm like, okay.
Wow. Best Buy with a Digipak.
I know.
I can't count those guys for anything whenever I want to go and get something there.
I'm looking at what came out in the last few months, what I've listened to. I've listened to the new Suicidal Tendencies with Dave Lombardo on it. It's fun.
I gave it a shot. It was on streaming, I think, on their Facebook for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure you're not it's not your style, really.
No, I used to love Suicidal Tendencies, but I guess I'm just not in the mood to hear that right now.
The new Epica.
Other stuff.
Yeah. I
gave it a shot.
I tried.
Yeah.
It seems like it's overly introed. There's like a lot of weird, this intro, before you even get into the meat, you know, the song, you're just like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah, and then this, I know that everyone's making a big deal about the symphony recording on it.
Yeah.
It didn't really mesh well for me. Like, I don't think they know how to write songs like that. It was a little above their heads. I mean, but I've never liked Epic, so I'm a bad person to ask, so.
I'm looking through. What I've heard, the new Candiria is very good.
I have not heard that
back to style, man. It's great.
Something we'll talk...
Ancient?
On the next episode, we'll talk about the new Amaranth album, which is...
I have not listened to Amaranth.
Which is a whole... Which will be fun to talk about. We'll talk about that.
Let's see. Ancient with Two Eyes.
Yeah.
Amazing. I am digging this album.
I do like it.
We're going to play it on the next episode because we've already picked out a song.
I got into them because of Josta, listening to the Josta podcast.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, actually. He was singing their praises. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I had to go check them out. Yeah.
Let's see. I guess Sacred Steel, we're going to play something from them next episode because they're actually touring with Sabaton.
Right, yeah.
And what did I compare the vocalist to? It's like it's old Sanctuary. So think of World Dane.
Yeah.
But not hitting all the notes, but pretty close.
Yeah.
World
Dane on a...
Bad day. I didn't know Hellman had a new album out. Serpentine Dominion, have you heard that? That's pretty great.
No.
It's basically, let's see, it's members. It's Adam Dutkowitz. Not Dutkowitz. He's a guitar player from Killswitch Engage. Corpse Grinder, George Fisher on vocals.
Yeah.
And Shannon Lucas on drums, who is in a Black Dahlia Murder. Don't let those two bands confuse you. This is... some brutal death metal right here. It's great.
Black Dahlia is they're brutal, pretty brutal.
Yeah, but they're too chorus for me.
Yeah,
my opinion.
Oh yeah.
November band that I haven't the new Hammerfall I've listened to. New Pretty Maid that I have not listened to yet.
I haven't listened to that one. Either.
The new Starkeel I have not heard. The new Vader I have not heard. I am a huge Vader fan.
I'm still
Superjoint has a new album coming out.
They
didn't even know that.
Wow. I have the The In Flames.
Is that?
I have it queued up to listen to. I just haven't given it.
Is that a new Freedom Call album?
Yes,
What?
Yeah, it's me. It's me. Cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
comes out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, they just put up a single on their Facebook page, like a lyric video or something.
I'm going to have to hear that.
Yeah,
I did not. I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
Let's see, Devilment. I still like Double Mint better.
Right.
Devilment is not good, guys. Yeah. Come on. Danny, sorry.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at that list, and I think that Trees of Eternity is in the tower above anything coming out in November.
Yeah, Sirenia, that just comes out. That is a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Starkill, I got to check that out because they are opening up for, which tour is it?
Dark
Tranquility.
The Enforcer, Starkill.
Yeah.
This year has been backloaded a lot with releases, you know?
Yeah, it really has. We got to start worrying about our top albums, too.
Yeah, I'm sort of thinking about that.
I'm
right
way
now.
Behind on actually listening to stuff. There's a topic I wanted to discuss, but we're going to wait till the next episode.
Yeah.
Because we'll have more time in the next episode.
See, we have time for that year-end thing, because we usually do ours like after Christmas, I think, too. So.
We usually do it around January.
Right, yeah.
Let it... you know,
give ourselves some time.
A little bit more time to percolate on it.
Yeah.
Let's get into the last song of the evening.
Okay.
Pallbearer, great doom metal band. They put out one of my favorite albums a couple years ago. They have an EP that just came out called Fear and Fury. And they do a cover song on this album, on this EP. They do Typo Negative, Love You to Death.
Yeah.
So it sort of fits into what we were talking about on our last episode. That's why we're going to end it out. It's a great cover version of it. Have you heard it yet?
No.
I think it fits really, really well with the song.
Has there been a tribute to Typo Negative, like, anytime, like a good one?
A good one, no. I'm sure.
Yeah, I think they work on that.
Oceans of Slumber played a Typo Negative song live recently on tour, and they released a live video of it.
Yeah.
I think those guys need to do an official live, a recording of it.
Yeah, I miss the days when labels
would. It was Wolfmoon. That's what song they did.
Wolfmoon.
Yeah,
okay,
it was great, too.
Not bad. Yeah, I could see that. With Cammy singing on it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
But I guess let's wrap up. Let's do our weekly wrap-up.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you are listening to episode 187 of MSRcast, going on close to 11 years already now.
Yeah.
It's going, man.
Yeah.
And never going to stop.
And I will say that episode 188 will be hot on the heels of this one.
Yes,
it will. It's not going to be as long a wait.
We're going to keep on pumping them out. And I want to give a personal thanks to our friend of the show, Brian Hogan, who's killing our social media. Yeah. He's really helping out.
He's keeping the flame burning.
He's a great guy. I hung out with him when I was in Florida last month. And he's a really cool guy. His family's great. And, he's keeping that metal, MSRcast burning in Florida for some reason.
Yeah.
Because Florida needs it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we hung out with Universal for a couple of days. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Nothing like two metalheads hanging out at the Harry Potter land.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. It looked cool.
It's pretty brutal, man.
Yeah.
Pretty brutal. But thanks to Brian again. Appreciate all the hard work that you do for us here. We need to get him on the show.
Yeah, that would
I had
be
him
great.
On. I had him on Metal Geeks for, we did a little segment. So I sort of popped his podcast cherry.
Yeah.
But he has a great... I think he has a great voice for this stuff. So
yeah,
we should
have him call in or do something like that for
our year end.
Our year end, yeah, that would be great.
We're gonna have Dave on. We're gonna have Brian.
Yeah,
that's right. So find us on the internet at metalgeeks.net or msrcast.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can search for either MSRcast or Metal Geeks. It's the same feed.
Yeah, and if you like the show, please rate us and review.
Please rate it and review us. Exactly, because that really does help get more people to find
more
the show.
More than anything else, that helps big time.
Exactly right. You can find us on the social medias at MSRcast on Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
MSRcast Official on Facebook, actually. And you can find the Metal Pigeon.
Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at The Metal Pigeon.
And, of course, our sister show at The Metal Geeks. Actually, at Metal Geeks.
Metal Geeks, yeah.
You said The Metal Pigeon, so it threw me off. At Metal Geeks on the Twitter, the Instagrams, the Facebooks, and all that good stuff.
Yep.
So we're going to leave it to Paul Bearer to love you to death, man. Thanks for tuning in, and one last thing I got to say.
Keep it metal and turn the news off. Just keep it metal.
Yeah, just keep it metal for a while. That's all you need. Check it out.
I am your soul. Am I good enough?
Listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.